scripture is pranayama, that is healthy breathing exercises. You will see when you learn a little pranayama, and we will learn a few very simple ones today, how healthy you are, how agile you are, how active, how movement comes easily to you, very flexible, very, very, very vital. The third level on which we exist is the Jnanamaya level. A person here identifies a lot with the thought processes. I'm a communist, I'm a free thinker, I'm a democrat. Here a person is identified with his mind and its ceaseless interpretations of reality. Jnanamaya. So please know, we all have all these levels with us, and our maturity in life shows where we are predominantly residing. Not maturity, our identity, our persona is found by where we are predominantly. You can clarify this platform by reading a lot of wisdom literature, which can help you to rethink your position and can help you to come to a good level where you feel happy and productive on. Now, still higher than this, or let me say still further, or further opportunity for this is the Vijnana Maya platform. At this level, something wonderful takes place, which I believe has taken place in the lives of people who come to a program like this one. People here begin to understand that I have been playing roles. Yes, I've acted on the physical platform, I've acted on the vitality platform, I've identified myself with concepts, but I am different from all of that. They like things like that the word person comes from the Greek word persona, which means mask. They feel I have carried masks in my life. I am not that. No? And they want to understand who I am. Who am I beyond my physical appearance and my mental concepts? Who am I really? And people who are on this level take frequent help of the ingoing process of meditation. I think it is very, very important in each one's life to have a healthy physical existence, to know what we are doing, and to also have our concepts right. We should purify these three levels, but ultimately we need to understand who we really are beyond the bodily appearance and the mental concepts which we have. In the Vedic tradition, the body and the mind are compared with garments, outer garments and underwear garments. The physical body would be an outer garment, and the mental concepts and all would be the underwear which we have. But we are different from our garments, different from our clothes. This brings a serious person yet a little bit higher to Anandamaya level, the stage of self-realization. On this level, you can find your rest in God. On this level, you will not only ask the question, who am I? You will be more interested in the question of what or of whom am I a part? Anandamaya, this fifth level, points us immediately to what we could call a higher connection. To exercise this in your daily life, you can practice bhakti yoga. I will talk a little bit later on the processes of bhakti yoga. Let me summarize before we go into a practical experience where each one of us actually will feel these levels of existence in his or her body and mind. It's a wonderful exercise which we soon will do. Let me summarize. There are five koshas or sheets or levels of existence, and we can always choose, no matter where we are, no matter what has happened in our life, on what level we wish to be. I once visited a person who had an almost fatal accident. All his bones were broken, the nerves were shattered, and I'm often called into hospitals, especially when people are dying, I found out, then the monks are necessary to give consolation and orientation for that journey which everyone dreads and is afraid of. So I came to this person, and he looked totally undisturbed. I had prepared my tissues, you know, and to wipe away the tears, and had prepared my words of consolation. But I found out this person didn't need one. And I asked, I'm quite curious to know, why are you so unaffected and even happy? Why are you just beaming? And the person said, you know, Swami Ji, it was a very feeble voice, I'm not the body. Yeah, but fine theory. I also teach that in my seminars. but how do you experience? Pain is pain, no? And he said that the person said to me, it depends on with what you identify in your life. I have gone through my practice to the Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya platform, where I really understand myself to be an eternal soul. But if I come down from this level, then I do feel the pain. And when he talked to me, I remembered an embarrassing incident in my life. I had just been given a new Mercedes-Benz car. I do not know if you know in America Mercedes-Benz? Of course. We know. Yes. And it was a present by an actor in Germany whom I counseled in spiritual things. And I was just giving a lecture on detachment when all of a sudden I heard the noise of you know, the metal. Someone had driven on my new Mercedes-Benz. And it was just a new car, and I needed it to drive to my different speaking appointments. And why? I must admit to you, I felt mental discomfort. I said to my audience, I have to just do a practice in detachment for 2 minutes here. Could we just make a little pause, please, of 5 minutes? And I will just do something, so my practice. And then I went to the window to see how bad the damage was of the car. And a profound joy came over me, because it was not the car which was gifted to me, which was banged, but the car of someone else. It was embarrassing for me, I think you can understand. But I still like to tell you this story with a twinkle in the eye, because it shows when we are attached, we suffer. And when we are detached, it was not my car, can we detach very easily? Happiness comes. This person in the hospital told me this lesson, which I will never forget and which I have practiced with benefit. But first you need to know really what are these levels, and then you know how to step on the next level where you don't experience the disturbance of one level. And you also sometimes need to know what to do to step down from one level to, for instance, the physical level, to live a healthy life in this body, to rest enough, to exercise, and so on. You need to have some type of knowledge of the house in which you are living and the staircases on which you can go to different destinations in the house. That's very important. Most of us live an unconscious life and do not know about what our birth in this world has given to us. We don't know about the 5 levels of existence, and we don't know how to make grow by you know, making these levels livable and acceptable and so on. So I would like to do now a little, before I proceed with philosophy, to make a little to invite you to make a little experiment in your own life, so that you can feel these levels of existence. First of all, you know that they are there. And once you know where to find them, you can go onto these levels whenever it is necessary. Is this a good idea?
Yes.
I'm seeing many of you for the first time, so I always think, my dear people, it's really something which I really feel very strongly. Philosophy is good to point the direction, but experience is necessary to arrive at a point. Philosophy can never help you to arrive at a point. Experience helps you to arrive at a point. And I feel it's so important for us, if we speak about higher levels of existence, to really know what we are talking about and to be able to maturely use these levels which are available to us in our daily life and become just enlightened and balanced people. Ready, Priya? Ready? Good. It's such a deluxe center that I have to ask, can I move something or will I be fine?
On this
journey, you have many things, many stages to go, so I have to
get my tools ready. I'm so excited. It's just so. See, New York, for. Now I say something out of order. New York, the people, they have seen a lot, and they are ready to see more. I have found them open for new experiences, and that's very good. In Germany, when you say, let's make an experiment, everyone runs out of the door. They're so afraid. So I would first of all like you to experience your body in a simple exercise. You will like this. By the way, what I'm now teaching you is something for home use. I'm not intending to teach you the techniques which you can only do under guidance. I really want to share with you ancient techniques which you can use at home for your own benefit. I would like you to also feel your energy body, your vitality body. I would like to relax you a little bit to help you to become more present. To also maybe discover some signals in your body which you have conveniently ignored so far, which might tell you that there's something you might have to take care of to improve your life. And finally, after having relaxed your body and making you aware of your body, I really want to give you a practice to relax the mind. This may be even more necessary for some of you, because I see most of you are the younger generation. You have healthy bodies, and many are yoga practitioners. But to calm the mind, that is sometimes required. I request you to sit tall if possible. The idea here is to make your spine erect. There are subtle energy channels on the spine which are freed by this. And because it's evening and we had a long day, I would like to help you to bring some energy into your body. I first saw this exercise at the sacred river Ganga, performed by a few yogis, and then I also saw it by one yogi who is in the West, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and I really can recommend Bhastrika Pranayam to you. That's what we are doing. We're doing a physical exercise, and we combine it with our prana, our flow of life air, and you will see something. I suggest that during this exercise, you just exercise and feel, and then afterwards take notes so that you can, if you wish, but you will get more benefit if you just exercise. So please bring your hands like this. The idea here is to widen your chest a little bit. Maybe some of you are working on computers and the shoulders are just going forward. Now when we, on an inhale, we will open our hands like this. And on an exhale, we will come down while clenching our fists. Okay. Please do the breathing through the nose only, not the mouth. and try to stretch your arms open as much as possible. Remember the purpose of the exercise? We want to really be in contact with our body. That's why we put some energy in it so that we can feel it, and it's not just like an isolated potato or something. If you start sweating, that's a good and positive sign. Okay, you've successfully completed the first round. For those who are men, I request you to put your left hand under your navel, between the navel and the pubic area, and the right hand across the left hand. And for those of you who are ladies, please put your right hand in this area under your navel and your left hand across it. And just breathe calmly. Maybe you feel something in your physical body. This exercise in the beginning where we are now is solely meant to connect you with this wonderful vehicle, the body. Please allow your consciousness also to come to this level. I know you think a lot, you have to work, you have to process things, but now in the beginning, we just want to feel our vehicle, the body. We will need it. Alright, please get ready for your second round of Bhastrika Pranayama. Bring your hands in this position. And please, some of you have not really widened the chest. You do this while imagining your good friend is just pulling your fist back a little bit, and allow your chest to open. Now we do the same thing as we have done. On an inhale, we go up, exhale down. We can start to put a little bit more force to the exercise, not speed, but force. Try to reach the ceiling. Or you fall really short of the ceiling. Please put the hands in the resting position and just feel into your body. No need to think about many subjects. Is this good or is this not good? What do I eat for evening? What do I have to do for tomorrow? Just feel into your body. Maybe you feel some lightness. And maybe you also feel a signal shoulder, something is not all right. The legs is not, something is not all right. Let it be. This is a time for your body, for the Anamaya platform, to announce itself, to make itself present. And your last round of pranayama, bhastrika, or bhastrika pranayama, is dedicated to more feel the energy which starts to rise already in some or most of your cases. Here I request you to really try to use a little energy, and as you use a little energy, you will maybe jump start the hidden energy which cannot express itself so much. We will not go very fast, but we will go forceful, and when we go down with our hands on an exhale, we will imagine we are pulling ourselves up, like pull up. Okay, kindly get ready. And again, try to really stretch your arms. This is the last time, so no need to breathe so loud. It's better if you do it softly, the breathing. More energy will come. Do it almost a little joyously, huh? With a force of joy. If you sweat, don't mind. Not a... We will do three times more. One, two, three. Now just go in your mind through your body, almost as if you would use a thing to calm your hair, to comb your hair. Let us start in our toes. Feel the toes in your consciousness. Remain sitting, of course. Try to relax. Go to your feet. Bring your consciousness there and relax. The legs. Be conscious of them. Scan them and relax them. Your bottom, where you sit, relax. The trunk of your body, the deep organs, relax. Now the shoulders, my God, are they tense? And the arms. Give them to the feeling of weight, gravity. Relax and allow how they loosen and go down a bit. And now the face, with its 2,320 facial muscles. bring your attention to the heart space. Relax. You might find some energy there, some vitality. You take away the tensions of the physical platform, of the anamaya. Other powers are there for you, positive powers, which come from the pranamaya level. But we will not go much further now. Sit tall and just focus on your breathing. In and out. In and out. No thoughts for a moment. Your goal is to be relaxed but incredibly aware. You wish to find out the different levels of existence because you want to use this knowledge. Breathe in and out and observe how you breathe in and out. Breathe in and say to yourself, I know that I breathe in. Whenever you breathe out, say to yourself, I know that I breathe out. Just observe, don't identify. As you observe, slowly will come to the Vijnana Maya level, platform where you will understand I am, and I am different from my breath. Feel the garments on your body. Observe how you are different from the garments. There's air all around your body. Breathe in this air. Understand, I am different from this air. It flows in and out of me. Now feel your body, the shoulders, or whatever you can feel at the moment. No, I am different from this body. with each breath coming in and out of you, you can adopt the role of the observer. Maybe many times in your life you have only reacted, and you live in the Vijnana Maya platform, then you can observe what is going on, and you can tell yourself what is a better way to react. I will read to you now a text from the ancient Bhagavad Gita where this observer role is discussed. A person on this platform always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Although he is engaged in seeing and hearing and touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, he knows that only the material body and the senses are engaged with their sense objects. But he's aloof. When he speaks, when he evacuates, when he receives or opens and closes his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with material sense objects. But he is totally aloof. Learn in your life to stay in this observer role, undisturbed, unattached, uninfluenced and steady by whatever happens, even when your body is brought into the hospital after a physical accident. In your life you have this level of existence and you can access it. You only have to practice it. We will move on now. Now we will go into the heart, the devotional heart, or the Anandamaya platform. As I read to you an ancient text, try to meditate about this text. Stay in the space in which you are now. There is a space in the heart where everything meets. Come here if you want to find me. Mind, senses, soul, eternity, all are here. Are you here? Enter the space of vastness that is in your heart. Listen to the song that is always resonating there. Give yourself to it with total abandon. Quiet ecstasy is here, and a sense of resting in a perfect spot. Oh, you, once you know the way to the sacred space of the heart, you will always called to return. Again and again, answer that call and be saturated with knowing, I belong here. I am at home. Now use a second mantra, and as we chant it, we will focus on that sacred space in the heart, and we will go there. It's a space where we can find ourselves, the soul, and the Supreme Soul. I will one time chant this mantra alone, and then we will all chant it together. To you a prayer which is prayed in India very often, beginning of the day. It is a prayer to the beloved in the heart. While praying, the mind should be concentrated on one's Ishta Devata, the beloved of the heart. If you're Christian, you will place God or Jesus there. this prayer, if you're Buddhist, you would put Buddha there. This prayer is a prayer in my own Vaishnava tradition, and I will read some of it to you. Sansara sagaranato putra mitra griyakula koptaram me yuvam meva rapana vaya banjano. O Shri Shri Radha Krishna, please rescue me from the ocean of birth and death. Please rescue me from the troubles of material life. Please break into pieces my insecurities and fears. Today I place myself and everything I possess, both in this life and in the next, at your disposal. I have erred so many times. I've made mistakes. I have even given up my spiritual practices. I, who have no other shelter, take shelter unto you. O beloved, I'm yours. I offer my thoughts, my words, and my deeds to you. You are the goal of my life. O Shri Shri Radha Krishna, you are like two great oceans of mercy. Please be merciful to me. I take shelter of you. I surrender to you. Please engage me in your service. King and Queen of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. Deep within me, I feel that I have some connection with you. But somehow, there are so many diversions trying to take me away. Therefore, I can't give my full attention to you, but at the same time, from the deepest place in my heart, I feel that you are my Lord and Mistress. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be fully satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. Without your grace, I cannot find relief for my material life. Prayers should be done from the center of the heart. They should be heart deep. Not only lip deep, heart deep. Slowly rub your hands now. Bring them to your eyes like palming. from your eyes and look into the lines on your head as if you are seeing them for the first time. And in this way, return to room awareness. There's one, I let you a little bit. I did this once in Ljubljana. We had, there was a peace conference, it had a meditational part to it and then a political part. So there were all these politicians sitting, and there were also Serbians there. Serbians are the enemies of the Slovenians and Croatians. I don't really understand this so much, but some animosity was there. And I did this a brief meditation with them, and said, "So who wants to do war now?" And it was really good. No one raised his hands. I mean, that might have had political reasons, but see, when you experience this a different level of consciousness than the consciousness where you where you live, that then you will live a different life. So many times there are impulses coming to us to which we want to react. Like when you throw a banana to a monkey, the monkey immediately goes and jumps on the banana. So our mind is very similar. But when you learn these different levels of consciousness, you don't react any longer in an immature and unhealthy way to your progress in life. You discover there is a space, a sacred space between the impulse and your reaction to the impulse. And in that space lies all of your human freedom. The way you can assess this space will decide how you live your life, what karmas you create, what future you create, what relationships you create. Everything lies in that space. And I find the Vedic scripture so absolutely precise and practical because they help us widen that space. If it's too complicated for you to remember the five levels of consciousness, no problem, no problem. Just learn one thing from this exercise. You are not the body and the mind. You are not what goes on, the digestive processes, the breathing processes, the circulatory processes, the endocrine processes, the hormones and all of that. You can observe it. Learn to observe it. Step back one step. I always recommend my audience the emotional traffic light. You know, when something happens to you, just first go on a pleasant red, that means stop. Then go to a yellow, like my flowers here. Think, okay, I'm observing this, this happens. Me, this happens outside of me. Actually, I can decide if I will jump or stay. And then give yourself a wonderful green. And I'm speaking of a wonderful green that is a creative green. You know, how can you act in a given situation in a nice way? And if you understand one thing, that you are actually a soul who resides in that sacred space in the heart. Wow! You have opportunities at your hand to act in a spiritual way, especially when you look for that higher connection. Always, I meet people who start to cry. I don't know what is so cryful at me in my life, or why I evoke tears. I guess they feel comfortable with me, and then they tell me their stories. And I often, sometimes I meet them only very briefly, but if I have a longer time, I say to them, step back, please, reframe. See, is it all so bad? You're an eternal soul. You're traveling from birth, from childhood to old age, and finally out of this body. And you have the opportunity now to disentangle yourself from the 1,000 unimportant things in your life and concentrate on the essence, rethink your life. And often they look at me because they forbid themselves to be happy and to use the opportunity of your life. If you do these simple exercises, which bring you into an observer role, which is neutral and distanced, I can guarantee you that you will have the strength in your life to detach from what is not necessary. Once there was a farmer. He was tired of going every night into the village and talking gossip, so he stayed at home and discovered a new job for himself. He banked on a piece of stone, and after some time he knew what he wanted. He wanted to make elephants from stone. His elephants became so good, so lifelike, that the king of the country came to him, observed his elephants, saw his elephants, and said, "Farmer, I give you half of my kingdom if you teach me to make a piece of art like this, an elephant like this." Do you know what the farmer said? He said, "No need to give me a kingdom. It's very simple, I can teach you in one sentence or two." Let's see how many sentences it becomes. "Just take the stone and take everything away which is non-elephant. Then you have the perfect elephant." So this simple process of taking the observer role gives you the strength to detach, like I did from my misery then, of like the person in the hospital did, huh? And observe things from the observer perspective, and as a result, he's a diplomat. He works in an embassy. To answer a call, he told me before. And so it allows you to detach, think anew what is better, and more than think, you have made an experience that you are different from the body and the mind. You cannot be harmed. You are eternal. Oh, this is a whole different perspective of life. And as a result, you can actually go deeper into the experience of a full life. I would like to now do two things and then give you your gift. You have heard it properly. We have prepared with loving hands a gift which you will most probably never forget for the rest of your life, and tell your grandchildren, if you ever have one, someone or many, what you have gotten. It's a summary of what you have heard, which you can take home with you so that you can practice if you wish. But before doing this, I would like to share with you my my own way to connect to the Self and the Supreme Self in the heart. And that is through sound vibration. You might have heard when we did this beautiful Ram meditation, I mean, you were really good. The sound came really strong from you. It was a good sound. Totally, you're a wonderful audience. You might have noticed when you were really giving yourself into the sound. Ram. First, I always hear, one is a little surprised. My God, this is something. I didn't know that there's something like this. It's an experience of sound. Of all the meditational aids which the Vedic tradition knows of, sound is the most profound one. However, it is important to bring the mind to the sound. At that time, sound or vibration, you could say, which is the underlying element of reality, can carry you to another reality. I think you all know, or you must be educated. Educated, of course you are educated, but you must have heard that ultimately this so-called solid reality which surrounds us is really only the small particles vibrating in different frequencies. Yes, it is a known concept. You look into the subatomic reality, you see that. So it's vibration. The Vedas say anuvritti shabdat. Everything is vibration, and vibration will also liberate you from the material vibration or the material reality. So, but the art is, and that is sometimes not known amongst those who chant mantras, to bring the mind to the sound vibration and let the sound vibration act. In India, you have these wonderful medicines. They are called rasayanas. Rasayanas are medicines which can even bring an almost dead person back to life. And these very intense rasayanas have always a mixture of mercury in them. Mercury. So mercury is a thing which never binds with anything so easily. Have you ever broken a fever thermometer and seen the mercury dripping out and then building little balls and then rolling away? That's our mind. Our mind never mixes with anything. Ask yourself, my dear people, what is it in you which keeps you from giving yourself 100% to whatever it is that you are doing? It's the mind. It just doesn't want to totally connect. So in mantra chanting, the way you can connect will describe your experience. If you learn to connect in your mantra chanting totally, you will most probably learn to connect with everything which you do or which you choose to do in your life 100%. Mantra chanting, or bringing the mind to the sound of the mantra, is a wonderful way to learn connection. And it empowers you in all areas of your life, especially the spiritual life, where you wish to attain a higher connection. When you give 100%, whoops, it goes very, very fast. It is very easy. But you know, when you want to make these medicines, and mantra is a medicine for the mind, for the whole being, you have to mix the two, the mind and the practice. It's almost like these Ayurvedic medicines where I know of one medicine where you have to mix mercury with sulfur, and in the beginning it just rolls away, the mercury. But as you grind, in India they have time, at least, maybe not time, but they have many people, you know, they can grind this medicine for a month. You know, I think they take night shifts and day shifts, and they grind, and finally the two elements, the sulfur and the mercury, bind, and then you can make this life-giving medicine, this rasayana. So in mantra chanting, the same thing is attempted. You have the mantra and your mind, and by repeatedly chanting, I don't want to say grinding, but by repeatedly chanting or singing the same thing all over, you will experience how they bind, and it's very quick. We won't sit here for a month, don't worry, to do this. It's very nice. I have brought Gaura Hari, who is famous in Europe. He's a harmonium player, then we have a mridanga player. Jason is there with his beautiful voice, and all of you with your still more beautiful voices. The way we do it, we chant the Maha Mantra, I suggest, Vandamandi. Can you please, for those of us who don't know it, reflect it? Good. I will sing the mantra one time alone, and then I request you to sing the Maha Mantra together with me. And it's very important that you bring the mind to the practice and keep it with the practice. Christ in your heart. Thank you very much. I would like to come to a conclusion of my little presentation. I would like to tell you an experience from last year which moved me very much. An experience in which is a lot about what we have been doing for the last, during the evening here, where we have tried to work to go deeper and deeper into ourselves. I have a friend who lives in the Himalayas. His name is Bhatri Vishal, a sadhu. He is a bird, and everyone likes him in the Himalayas because whenever he travels somewhere, he somehow always has these wonderful sweets with him, and he distributes them. Really, with Bhatri Vishal, you can enter every valley, every temple, and see every saint. He's very well known. Last year we were just returning from Vyas Chetty, a place at the Ganga, where the Ganga makes really a sign like an om. You have to see it to believe it. It's really wonderful. When we were on our way back to Haridwar, he asked, "Do you want to see the strongest woman of India?" I said, "Seriously, where is the strongest woman of India?" "Yes, she has a document." How do you say this? Document is what you can hang on the wall. Certificate, yes, from the President of India as the strongest woman of India. I said, "Well, yes, I mean, who wouldn't like to see the strongest woman of even of New York, you know?" So I imagine a mountain of a woman coming. You know, we stopped at a place, and he just told a few people, and then the strongest woman of India came. She was this small. I mean, not from here, from the floor. This small. And she looked very friendly. And then he told me her story. She had done field work, working on the fields, you know, with one of these little, they're called cichlids. And then she saw that two children who were playing nearby were coming to the edge of the forest. And all of a sudden, a bear came out of the forest. It was a man-eating bear. You know, I'm not saying there are many men. This bear was known in the villages as having gone berserk and hunting people. So this bear came at these children. These were not even our own children, just neighbor children playing. And he attacked these children to slay them and later to eat them. So this little lady is there with her sickle, just this little, half the size of Damodar Swarup, you know, it's very small. And she rushes out, takes her sickle, runs to this man-eating bear, shouts out "Ram!" and starts to engage in mortal combat, in the ultimate fight, you know, with this bear. And somehow, although this bear can slay grown-up people, this little teensy-weeny lady just, you know, really works hard into his fur. And I don't know if she slayed him, but at least, but the bear was wounded and escaped into the forest. Maybe he died there. So this was told in the villages, and the president of India heard about it and gave her this certificate, strongest lady of India. Indian, yeah, that's very, very personal. And so I was with this lady, and I asked her, she was, you know, a very pleasant lady. I asked her, what gave you, first of all, the determination to confront this bear? And everyone runs away from this rascal bear. And then to have the strength to just fight and defeat him. And he said, she said so beautifully, "Oh, Swamiji, it was not me, it was love. I connected with love in my heart. The certificate should go to love, the power of love, not to me." Simple village lady, very good. She knew how to go to a different level. She knew selfish absorption in her body and in her own mental world were not helping here. She went on a higher level, and she connected with the strength which was available on this level. So bhakti is really about this releasing the imprisoned love and give it wings to fly. That is about what that is what bhakti is all about. You know, when a lover meets the beloved, I have not experience of this part. He puts nice fragrant perfume. Do Americans do this? At least in French they do it. I don't know if you Germans do it. And then he decorates himself with the fragrance and goes to the beloved. It's meant exclusively to give him fragrance, but everyone who comes in contact with him gets a scent of that fragrance also. Bhakti is that. You open you go deep into your heart where the soul and God resides through your practice, the bhakti practice, sadhana, the bhakti practice, and as a result, and you connect with God, and as a result, everyone with whom you come in contact gets your loving fragrance, your bhakti fragrance, your bhakti effulgence, you know. Dear people, decorate yourself with the scent of love. That's best. That's best. That will help you. Assess that level of bhakti, which is love for God. This is very strong. And then anyone who comes in contact with you will feel like that. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Because why? Because just like that little village lady in the Himalayas had accessed a higher level which empowered her, you will also assess a higher level which empowers you. 100%. 100% you will experience. What is left? Well, my friend Bhakti Vishal, who showed me the strongest lady of the Himalayas. Not Himalayas, of India. We should invite her to New York. But she doesn't speak English. She's a very simple lady, but so joyful. She's very joyful. We have a slide of her. Do we have the slide here? Would you like to see the strongest lady of India? We can show you. We made a photograph of her. I didn't know. When you're ready, you please give me a sign. Yes? So, Bhadri Vishal, on that excursion, this wonderful saintly devotee who showed me this lady, taught me a little story which I want to share. And with this story, I want to give you a present, which I hope you will never forget.
Good chance.
strongest lady is there. That's her. That there on the right side is Bhadra Vishala. Photo is not so good. We are still looking for an objective for our camera. But do you see how beautiful she is? She's engaged in conversation with Bhadra Vishala. Prabhu, this small little lady, huh? Not even reaching to the edge of the car. A village lady. Oh, strong. And she said, "It is love. I accept love that was giving the power. Thank you." So this is when you have a good assistant, they have everything in the computer and more. So he then Bhadra Vishala then taught me something. He taught me a story. That there was once a pupil, a disciple of an exalted spiritual teacher who learned very slowly. And the teacher told the disciple, "My boy, come with me. I want to go to Puri." Puri is in the eastern coast, a harbor town. "My ship has come for me and waits for me." So Mohan, that was his name, he said, "Why should I come?" He said, "I need someone to carry my baggage." So Mohan carried his guru's luggage. They went by train from Haridwar to Puri, a long journey. And they came to Puri and they visited the beautiful temple. And then Mohan's guru caught a fever, lay down in the fever bed and took his ship. Mohan knew, he will never ever return except through his teachings. Now he understood what his guru meant when he said, "My ship is waiting." He understood, he knew of his death, and just didn't want to say it to Mohan so clearly. After 5 days of fever, the guru left his body and went with this, we say, this ship over the ocean of birth and death. Now Mohan was in despair, but his guru, but then his one other disciple from Puri came and said, "Before your guru left, he prepared a letter for you, which he placed into an envelope, and he said, when you are crying, I should give you this envelope." Mohan saw the envelope. It was a brown little envelope. He opened it, and he saw in the handwriting of his guru the lines, "My dear Mohan, you are a little slow in learning, but I want to summarize what I have taught you in 5 simple lessons, the 5 spiritual teachings of the pencil." In that envelope was a pencil like this one. Not so perfect, it's a very perfect pencil. But then it said, "Mohan, you should understand the point of life. Just like the pencil has a point, But the point will only become clear if you sharpen it. Not yet there. You should also sharpen your tools. Take care of your body, anamaya, and pranayama, pranamaya, of your vital body. Take care of your gift of an intelligence. Take care of the ability to meditate. Sharpen your tools, Mohan. Don't forget to sharpen your tools. Second point, Mohan, you must find your line in your life, your particular own line, your Dharma. Have the courage to live your Dharma. Just like the pencil, it always has its unique line in its life. The pencil is there to have a line. And the third lesson, Mohan, remember your core. Inside the wooden casing of the pencil, there is a graphite core. So inside your physical body, there is the eternal soul, Mohan. For don't forget, you are that. You are that eternal soul. Don't forget it. And then, Mohan, don't forget your eraser in life. When you have made a mistake, when you have drawn the wrong line, when you have forgotten your line, erase it. And finally, Mohan, never forget that there is a guiding hand. It's not you who write, it's not the pencil who writes, it's the hand who guides the pencil. Never forget, Mohan, that there is the hand of God who guides you. Be connected to that hand. Never fall out of that hand. These are your five lessons. Take care of your five of your levels of existence. Sharpen them. Find your Dharma, your essential contribution. Draw your line. Find your core, your spiritual essence, you know, like this graffiti. When you made a mistake, don't be proud. Erase, go back, step back, start anew. And don't forget your guiding hand. These are the five lessons for you, Mohanji. Don't forget. Similarly, I want to say, Bhagavad Life, who has invited me, has prepared for all of you your pencil. I think Prentice is enthusiastic to distribute it to you. It's a pencil and how to use it. The five spiritual teachings of your pencil, you can have that and take that with you from the workshop. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And you have even seen Bhadri Vishal on the photo who has given this to you. It is Bhagavad's life to all of you. And I thought it was very gracious when Bhagavad apprentice asked me, what will you talk about today, Maharaj? Here in the open center, they're very organized. They want to see the draft. And I said, okay, I will prepare a draft. And when he found the five spiritual teachings of the pencil, he was induced to give you your pencil. Don't give it away very easily. It is your pencil. It's your life. Imagine someone would come now to this class and wonder what was the class all about. And he sees all of you with a pencil and a piece of paper. I think he would have difficulty to find out what we have been doing for the last, I don't know, for the time which we are spending together. Good. I realize it's getting late for some of you. Is it? I think we are in good time, Francis, isn't it? So I have said what I wanted to say to all of you. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for bearing with my English without a German accent. I am very, very was very honored to stay with you for and talk a little bit about the wisdom of my tradition. I have one request which is very important for me. Please try to implement something of what struck you today, something which you had discovered is of value in your life. When you want to progress in your life, you have to just know one thing: whatever you can recognize at your present level as something which is valuable for you, immediately take that and make it into a practice. And then when you have done that, then you take the next thing which you take, and then growth can take place. Please don't be like so many people who are just a retreat and seminar and lecture. I would say in a, I only know the word junkies, you know, they come again and again and again because they never take something into their practical life. Life is simple when you are open to go the next steps. When you discover the different abilities which you have within you, and we heard about the different levels, and if you take care of these levels, if you sharpen them so that you can use them as tools. And I highly recommend for my tradition this mantra chanting, because by the power of this mantra everything can unfold which is already there, that many have experienced in a personal way. So I thank you very, very much, and take care. Brentis is just telling me, for those who still have time, we have 10 minutes to take questions which you might like to ask at this stage. Not all at once, please. You have no question, I will have a question for you. Yes, one question, but I still will ask my question to you. Yes, but please let us, we will take your microphone. We will give you a microphone.
I've never heard the coaches describe the way you describe them, and it's really useful to me. But I've wondered for a long time how that conception, where the emotional body or the psyche fits into that, the koshas, and how you would speak about that. I'd really love to hear you speak about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The kosha is one explanatory tool to explain the antakarana. Antakarana means the inner instrument, which is the subtle body, which is composed of manas, buddhi, ahankara, and citta. We'll explain what this is. Now, the koshas do not concern themselves so much with the emotional body. They don't express them so much. Therefore, another model has to be taken, which is the model of which I've just mentioned, that we have in our subtle body four functions: the mind, which reacts, the buddhi, or the intelligence, which can plan, the ahankara, the sense of identity, and the chetana, or the citta, the subconsciousness, which is linked with the subconscious mind of all living entities, which surrounds this world as the mahatattva, and you could call it in modern language an informational field. Someone who has trained his intuition will be able to access through the citta, the subconsciousness, the information field, which almost comes down with informations to him, like as if there are channels. You can see that in your life when you have a good intuition which never fails. It comes from that mahatattva. Because your question was regarding the emotional body or the subtle mind, I would like to give you an analogy from the Vedas, which will, again, like I explained the koshas to you, be very practical so that you can do something with it. That's not just a theory. Imagine an elephant with a belly, big belly, sitting here, an elephant like Ganesh, thick skin, a head with big ears, and a trunk constantly moving between its two tusks. This is a little bit the picture which we have when we look at your emotional body, your subtle body. There is a skin by which you define your personalities, the limits of your personality, which is almost like the skin of the elephant. It's very thick, but also very sensitive. The ego is so sensitive. You will have the buddhi, the intelligence, which is informed by a lot of training, information, knowledge, and wisdom. Therefore, it corresponds with the large ears of the elephant. And then you have your mind, the mind, which is like the trunk, which constantly oscillates or moves between the two poles, the tusks of I accept and I reject, I like, I dislike. Constantly our mind, just like the trunk of an elephant, is on the move. If you have ever been in Sri Rangam, there is a scary experience. They have a temple elephant. You are there innocently walking. All of a sudden you feel something in your pocket. You think, my God, that's one of the famous thieves of South India. And you grab it. You have, you have the trunk of the elephant which moves. This is how our mind is. It grasps I like, I dislike. The major part of our emotional body is not known to us. It's the subconsciousness, the citta, which is in connection with the information field. So if you want to learn something about your emotions, your inner life, you need to know what is your mind doing, what is the intelligence doing, and what comes from that vast pool of experiences, which is sometimes digested and most of the time undigested in the huge belly of the elephant, in the subconscious mind. What mantra does is it especially gets to that subtle body, that subconsciousness, which we really don't have so much of a conscious access to, and it purifies it. That is the power of the mantra. It purifies our subconscious, which we are not aware of, but which informs most of our decisions, and so on, just like the trunk of the elephant, big belly trunk, not trunk, but I wanted to say the belly is really vital to all its other parts. The koshas, some teachers, Vedic teachers, have said that the pranamaya, the vitality kosha, connects to the emotional body the most. No? But there are many schools and so on. When you the koshas are usually not used to explain the subtle body and what goes on. It's very nice for me to hear that you have studied this. One of my works is to prepare a course on Vedic psychology. I must tell you, I have studied the scriptures for a long, long time, and also in India, and it is my real purpose in explaining these things, to bring them to a level where people can work with this, you know, and do something. And I found an amazing wealth of information. Just the information that you can go over the body like breathing and calm your mind. I think we could dismiss 50% of Western psychology just with the simple pranayama exercises, and that heals, you know, it helps permanently. Now, what I wanted to express in my presentation is that you should regularly take care of these koshas so that you are in good working order. The body, the vitality, the knowledge part in you, and so on. Just like you take care of your teeth so that they can bite an apple without an embarrassing gum problem. Vedic knowledge of the koshas and how to take care of them brings you into good working order, and especially the emphasis that ultimately we are an observer, we can use these things, we are not identical with them. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Just this one experience that I can use my body, I can use my mind, I can use my knowledge, and because I'm different from it. Just like if I would be the microphone, I couldn't now pull it closer so that you can hear me better. But because I'm not the microphone, I can do this. Yeah, I can use it for a good purpose. Thank you. I would have been totally sad if there would be no response from the audience, and you are today the representative of my New York audience. I couldn't understand your subtle sign.
You can take one more.
Can I also ask my question? Did I see anyone else has a question at this moment? God, then I have my chance. First of all, thank you. I feel we have in some ways bonded. It's always important for me. I would like to ask you a question which you can take with you. I hope this question haunts you a little bit. What could you do in your life which you already know you should do? You're not doing it. That would significantly improve your present life. Was I clear in the question? What is it in your life which you already know you should do it? It's an intuition, no? But you're not doing it. That could significantly improve your life. The reason why I'm asking you the question, and keep the answer for yourself, no need to tell it to the world. The reason why I want to give this question to you as a gift is, when we hear about the growth or the possibility of growing in this human form of life, we also sometimes need to confront the obstacles, the things which keep us from growing, which keep us in the box, and so on. When we concentrate a little bit more on the points which we need, which we know should be done, and you know, we focus our mind a little bit, understanding that we have all this opportunity in this human form of life, then there's a chance that you grow. It's so important to use this little thing, little question. What can I do to grow more? And then focus your mind on it, and then use the tools. That's why I gave you the pencil. Bhagavad Life gave you the pencil. You can read it in your spare time, and I think you will get something out of it. You will remember the story. You will see that sweet lady who was empowered to beat the bear, and you will move on. It's really, I'm already together with Prentice since, I believe, 7 years, is that correct? And we always, when we meet and when we talk about presenting anything, we think, how can people bring this in their life to their benefit? And I'm working with a team of very dedicated people in the things which I do, also independent from Bhagavad Life. And we always, our main concern is to bring this Vedic paradigm of growth to our people who listen to anything which we do. The Vedic paradigm to grow has three simple steps, and we have done these three steps throughout this workshop. The first thing is Shravan. Shravan means to hear, to listen, to know information, to take it in. The second step is something which you still might have to do in your private time, a manaha. Manaha means to think about it, to reflect it. Knowledge which you hear, but you don't reflect it, you don't work with it, it just goes in one ear and out the other. But if you reflect it, it goes in the ear and then it comes to the faculty of reflection and goes right into your heart, and from there it forms your life. And the third step which we do in what we do is application. sometimes I'm notorious. People know when they invite me, the Swami will ask us to do something, to work. Because in the Vedas it says, only if you apply something which you have heard, if you make an exercise and experience something, will you get this knowledge, and will not leave you. So in this presentation also, you heard things, I put questions to you, I hoped I provocated your intelligence a little bit, and I asked you to do practices, this as, because then you can really learn something. I think often this is missing in teachers. Teachers only take care of the shravan aspect, that say something and others listen. But manaha, reflecting, they have to give their students time to reflect and to bring that into the cells of their life, and then apply it and make an experience. And I really request you to take this with you. You will see miracles unfolding in your life. Really, it's not an empty promise. We get so many emails, and when I get it, it says, I always remember the little lady now, who said, it was not my, it was the power of love. I didn't do anything. So when people say thank you, or they think of different organizations with whom we work, I'm saying always, it's not me, I'm just presenting some Vedic knowledge and requesting my audience to, now I speak in New York terms, to get off their sacred behind and do something. I have heard in New York you have to speak very, very direct, otherwise you are not taken serious. With this I want to end. Once again, thank you so very, very much. And forgive me for any inadequated, what is the word, use of language, sometimes, what to do, inadequate use of language, yeah.
Thank you, and thank all of you. I find that in participating in Maharaj's talks, one of the things I appreciate the most is that I find Maharaj